While we're having fun at the lake this summer, it's also good to be aware of ticks. Here to tell us more is Professor John Oliver. He's a public health entomologist at the University of Minnesota. Welcome, John.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for joining us. I had to look up entomologist, and it's an expert in the branch of zoology concerned with insects.
And yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Do you specialize in ticks?
I actually do. So I'm a public health entomologist, and we work on insects and other arthropods like arachnids, you know, ticks or arachnids, that transmit diseases to people. So that's like mosquitoes, ticks. Those are the main ones we have to worry about in Minnesota.
Okay. Well, we're up here in northeastern Minnesota, and we never had ticks until, the most recent, maybe 10 years or so, maybe a little bit longer than that. What kind of ticks are most common in our area?
Yeah, so historically, there were probably what Minnesotans call wood ticks, also known as American dog ticks. Those have been around throughout the state for a long time, and they're more tolerant of drier conditions. They're larger ticks that people tend to be pretty familiar with. But yeah, the ticks that you're probably seeing a lot more of recently are deer ticks. Those used to be limited, you know, if we're talking like the mid-90s, those were limited more to the border between Wisconsin and Minnesota, especially down around like St. Croix area, the St. Croix State Park area. But in the last 20 years, they've really spread all over the state. They're now in all of the forested counties of the state.
Wow. So we even have them up here.
And oh, yeah. Yeah, they've definitely expanded up into the north.
So what kind of diseases do these ticks carry?
So deer ticks are the main concern. Wood ticks can very rarely carry Rocky Mountain spotted fever, which is a severe disease, but it's very rare. Deer ticks, on the other hand, are commonly infected with a variety of diseases. The main one that people are most familiar with, and the one that's by far the most common, is Lyme disease.
Right.
But they can carry other diseases. Another disease called human granulocytic anaplasmosis has terrible branding in terms of the name, but it's actually a very common disease in Minnesota. We have about 1,000 cases a year or more.
Wow.
Yeah, and then there's even rarer diseases, some of which can be very severe, like Powassan fever has been in the news a bit recently. We don't have a lot of cases of it, maybe 20 or 30 cases a year in the state, but that's actually more than any other state in the U.S., and so it's it's on the radar.
Okay. So these diseases from the ticks, what kind of symptoms do people have?
So a lot of tick-borne diseases have pretty vague sort of flu-like symptoms. They can be fever, malaise, cough and cold, joint pain. Usually people feel really tired. So if you feel this way, and you know that you've gotten a tick bite recently, it's definitely a good idea to talk to your doctor and tell them that you had a tick, too.
Good information, yeah. So how do we avoid these ticks? What should we do so that we don't get them on us?
Yeah, so the first thing you can do is to just be very aware when you're going out into tick habitat that you're going to be getting exposed. So tick habitat, when you're talking about deer ticks, is really any forested area. Usually they prefer a closed canopy, but you can be kind of on the margins of closed canopy areas and still be getting exposure to them. Or if it's very humid, you can potentially run into them even further afield. So forested areas in particular are a concern for deer ticks. American dog ticks, the wood ticks, can be found pretty much anywhere in scrubby terrain or forested areas. So you want to just be aware if you're entering tick habitat. If you know that you're getting into someplace real thick, it's a good idea to wear long pants. You can even tuck your socks over your pants.
Mm-hmm.
Might be a fashion faux pas, but it'll help keep the ticks at least on the outside of your clothes so that you can potentially see them and pull them off. Similarly, you can wear light-colored clothing so that they're easier to see. Finally, it's also effective to wear mosquito repellents. Those will also keep ticks off. So you can wear, you know, any mosquito repellent that's approved by the EPA that contains DEET. And there's a couple of new herbal-based repellents on the market that are as effective as DEET, but maybe don't last as long. So those will help keep ticks off of you when you're out in their habitat.
Okay. Well, we're talking with Professor John Oliver. He's a public health entomologist at the University of Minnesota, and we are talking about ticks. We've got them here in the Cook County, Lake County area, and so DEET is good. But what if we're out in the woods and we do find a tick on ourselves or somebody with us? What should we do then?
So you should take it off right away, because a lot of these diseases take some time to be transmitted from the tick's body into your body. So usually the sooner you get it off, the safer you're going to be, especially if you're talking about, you know, the most common disease, Lyme disease.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good idea to carry tweezers with you.
Okay.
In your first aid kit if you're out camping or whatever. I always carry them with me. So the best way to remove a tick is to grasp its mouth parts where they enter your skin as close to your skin as you can and get a firm grip and pull it off. What you want to avoid is squeezing the body of the tick, because if you squeeze the body, you can, you know, potentially squeeze whatever bad germs are in the tick into yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so if you don't have tweezers, you can improvise. You can potentially use a couple of credit cards and use those to carefully pinch underneath the tick on its mouth parts and then lift it right off.
What if the head gets into the skin? If you only get the body off, is that something that you should seek medical advice for, or no?
So there's a lot of folklore about, you know, leaving the head behind.
Yeah.
In the tick. If you get the body off and like most of the, you know, most of the head or most of the mouth parts, then you're really eliminating the tick-borne disease risk. But there's still, if you leave, you know, bits of the tick behind, it's sort of like having a dirty splinter. You know, ticks are not clean creatures generally, and so but it's effectively just like having a splinter. So you can end up with a skin infection at the site. I wouldn't say that it's worth going to the doctor unless you do develop an infection.
Okay.
Normally, it'll just, you know, fall out by itself, and the disease risk is just going to be gone, you know, once the body of the tick is off.
Okay. I'm a mother, and you know, when my kids were little, I was telling Dave and our listeners that I had to rescue frogs from jeans pockets before the jeans went into the washing machine, and I gathered runaway residents from the knocked over and broken ant farms, and I've even unsuccessfully tried to keep a worm farm going under my kitchen sink. And I'm wondering about your past. When you were a kid, did you know that you wanted to be an entomologist?
Yeah, actually, I think most entomologists first become interested when they're children. And so I know that I probably tried my mom by having ant farms and catching grasshoppers and jars of, you know, swimming things in murky water and that sort of thing. Yeah.
I'm sure you had a very active childhood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
So now with research, what are you doing now?
So I'm involved with a number of research collaborations in the university and with state agencies. One of the projects I'm working on is looking at how the diseases and other bacteria inside ticks change when the ticks are from different environmental areas. So we're collecting ticks from across Minnesota mainly, but we also have sites in Wisconsin and Iowa. So one of the questions that we want to answer is, you know, with this huge expansion of the home range of the tick that we've seen in the last 20 years, is this being caused by a bacteria inside the tick's body that's helping it survive in more extreme conditions, or is that a factor? So that's one of the projects I'm working on right now.
Great. Well, we've been speaking with Professor John Oliver. He's a public health entomologist at the University of Minnesota. We sure appreciate you taking the time to talk with us tonight. And is there anything that you want to tell our listeners that maybe we haven't touched on?
I would just say, you know, when you're out in the woods, be aware, and also be aware that even if you're walking on trails and stuff, potentially any vegetation that you brush against in a wooded area can have deer ticks. So just be real aware, and if you check yourself every day very carefully, you're going to greatly reduce your chance of getting a tick-borne disease.
Good advice. Watch for those ticks. Thank you, Professor John Oliver, for joining us tonight.